Health Suite on Primetime with Catherine Robert.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suite. Today we have with us Dr. Gavin Tan, Consultant, Surgical Retina Department, Singapore National Eye Centre, and Clinical Director, SNEC Reading Centre. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tan.
Thank you, Catherine.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about diabetic eye conditions. Let's start from the basics. Firstly, tell us about the eye conditions that are associated with diabetes.
So diabetes is a condition where the blood sugar is high. So any organ in the body with blood vessels can be damaged by the sugar levels. In the eye, the vessels in the retina are the primary areas that receive damage, and it causes one main condition, diabetic retinopathy, where the retinal vessels are damaged. And a subsidiary complication of that is diabetic macular edema. So effectively what happens is you get vessels which are leaking, which bleed, and that can cause vision loss in these patients.
That sounds very painful. What causes diabetic retinopathy?
As I mentioned, the high sugar levels causes damage to the cells in the blood vessel wall. So when these endothelial cells and parasite cells in the blood vessel wall are damaged, they do not function normally. So the blood vessels are not supposed to be leaky, so they can leak fluid. The damage can also cause blockage of these vessels. So then they are no longer able to supply the blood, the sugar, the oxygen into certain parts of the retina. And the combination of leakiness and blood blocked vessels causes damage to the retinal cells.
Right. So what is the difference between diabetic retinopathy and diabetic macular edema?
So the retinopathy refers to the overall condition where the retina blood vessels get damaged, and macular edema is a subset. So anyone must have diabetic retinopathy before they can get macular edema. But macular edema is the subgroup where they have leaking specifically in the center of vision. So imagine a big splosh of water in the middle of your television screen. You can't see in that central part, and that's becoming the most common cause of vision loss in our diabetic patients today.
Who is at risk of diabetic retinopathy? Not all diabetics are at risk, are they?
So all diabetics do have a risk, but we know the primary risk factors are your control of sugar levels. So the poorer or the worse your blood glucose control, the more likely you are to get it. The duration of your disease, as expected, the longer you have it and the more exposure to the high levels, you are then again more likely to get it. There are also other risk factors such as high blood pressure, abnormal blood cholesterol or fat levels, and other complications which patients may have which may predispose to it, like renal conditions. Pregnancy may be cause it to accelerate as well.
Okay, so do you have some numbers or some ballpark figures as to how many Singaporeans suffer from diabetic eye conditions?
So we know, based on the National Health Survey, about 8 to 9% of Singaporeans above 18 have diabetes. Of these, we know 30% will have the retinopathy or the blood vessel disease of the eye. So giving a ballpark figure, if you assume there are more than 5 million people in Singapore, you would have about 400,000 diabetics. One-third of them will have eye disease, which is about 130,000 people.
That's a lot of people. Okay, so what are some of the symptoms of diabetic retinopathy and DME?
So the interesting thing about this disease is that in the earlier stages, it is asymptomatic, which is a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing because that means it is a stage where I can identify it and treat it before you lose vision. It's a bad thing because a lot of people run around with eye disease and they don't realize it until it's too late to be treated.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but once it starts to reach the center of your vision, you may notice distortion, blur vision. In patients where there is massive bleeding inside the eye, they can get sudden vision loss as well.
A lot of the things that you've mentioned is very internal, so like bleeding on the inside. So other than losing vision, in the initial stages, you don't generally know what's going on, right?
Absolutely not. The patient will look like yourself or myself.
Right.
And so the patient's vision could be perfect. He could be your Grab driver, taxi driver.
Wow. Okay, so how are diabetic retinopathy and DME detected then?
So the recommendation is that diabetic patients should have at least an annual or maybe a 2-yearly eye screen. In Singapore, the Ministry of Health has supported and helped us to launch a national diabetic eye screening program where all polyclinics and community health centres have cameras that are specially designed to take pictures of the back of the eye, and this allows us to pick up the disease before it manifests with vision loss or blindness.
And what is the cost of these checkups, eye screens?
It ranges, if we normally would like to talk about the subsidised patient, the polyclinic probably pays about $10 for it.
How can people with diabetes then protect their vision and not let it get to that stage where, you know, you have to go for surgery?
Patients always ask me, is there a medicine, is there a magic solution I can give? Unfortunately, there isn't. So I tell them at the end of the day, they have to control the sugars. So controlling the sugars goes back to watching their diet, getting healthy lifestyle and exercise, and taking their diabetic medication as their primary care physician has prescribed. So not forgetting missing doses and so on and so forth. So it's the whole general health and not the eye-specific things that need to be done. And sometimes patients find this difficult to understand. So a lot of education is required in this process.
How is DME treated?
So diabetic macular edema, there are two ways to treat it. We used to treat it with laser because that was the only modality available from us. But laser, as you can imagine, you think of laser in Star Wars, for example, it sounds like a destructive procedure. It is. So now we have switched over because we have more specific ways of treating the disease. Laser just destroys certain vessels. Now we use drugs. And the issue with this disease is it happens right at the furthest back end of your eye. So eye drops are not going to cut it. In order to get the drugs to the location it needs to treat, we do, however, need to put an injection. A needle needs to go in order to deliver the drug into the back part of the eye. So these are eye injections of drugs. They have been very successful in treating this condition. So they became available in 2006. And I think the incidence of people with diabetic macular edema with untreatable vision loss has really fallen since that time.
So it can be completely reversed?
It can be completely reversed in the majority, but not all patients. But the problem is, it's not going to be one injection. It has to be multiple injections. And there are some patients that may need some maintenance. So we may not be able to wean them 100% off the injections, although we try and cut the frequency with time.
Okay, so can these injections be applied to, say, patients, older patients, elderly patients?
Yes, we can give them from basically every age group. So the same drug I give to treat a different kind of condition in my neonatal or newborn babies, it's the same drug that we use to treat diabetic macular edema, and it also works for age-related macular degeneration for the very old patients. So there's no age restriction.
Oh, wow. But for older people, is there not more risk because they're more frail or, you know, they have other conditions?
In part, that is why we deliver the drug into the eye. These drugs, because they affect blood vessels, if you were injecting it into your arm or your vein and it goes into the whole body, it will affect the blood vessels in the whole body. So a systemic or bodily dose of these drugs can increase your risk of bleeding or ischemic conditions like stroke and heart attack. But injecting it in the eye reduces the risk. We have done some research before that has shown that the systemic risk, although it's not zero, it's quite low.
Okay, so what is a virectomy then?
So a vitrectomy is the surgery that's required to treat or used to treat the worst form of the diabetic eye disease. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes the vessels can leak. You get that puddle.
Yeah.
Give the injection, get the puddle away. The other condition that happens is when the blood vessels get blocked. So when you have a lot of blocked pipe, paradoxically, your body tries to compensate by growing new blood vessels.
Okay.
Unfortunately, these are not normal. You think of a poorly built building, it will collapse. These poorly built blood vessels tend to bleed. They not only bleed, but they tend to contract and they can almost literally rip the retina off the back of your eye. And when you get these massive bleeding or the retina being pulled off the back of the eye, then you require surgery or vitrectomy, where we use micro instruments through tiny holes less than a millimeter in diameter. And we insert these instruments into the back of the eye to allow us to put all the pieces back together again.
So, for example, let's just say these treatments don't improve your vision. What do patients do then?
There is a subgroup of patients which do arrive with the disease at the stage where, in spite of everything we do, we cannot reverse the vision loss, in part because the retina is a sensitive piece of tissue with nerve origin, and when there is severe damage, some of it is irreversible. So these patients, we can't improve the vision, but we do have visual aids that can assist them. And at our institution, we have launched a full low vision program, which is occupational therapy as well. And they use a combination of things like optical aids, magnifiers, telescopes to improve whatever vision the patient has left. And we do implement occupational therapy to teach the patients how to cope with their conditions. That, and of course, now we know everybody, almost everybody has a smartphone, and a smartphone has a camera, and the camera devices can assist these patients by magnifying, by identifying text and then converting it to speech, for example. So really, the rehabilitation for these group becomes working around their disability. And today, I think we're very much more successful than 20 years ago, getting poorly sighted people to function as normal as possible.
That's great to hear. But how many patients go through this treatment and come out not being able to reverse the condition? Is there a big group of them, or?
I think if you talk about the macular edema, we normally say there is 30% that don't respond as well as we want to. So it's a significant proportion. But the proportion that actually ends up with the worst vision is probably smaller, about 10%.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Gavin Tan, Consultant Surgical Retina Department, Singapore National Eye Centre, Clinical Director, SNEC Reading Centre. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me, Catherine.